I think really be okay with learning with your child. You don't know everything, and that's totally okay. I think homeschooling is really about trial and error and trying to realize what works out for you and your children. Kind of like you mentioned earlier, it doesn't have to be the same for each child. I think at the end of it all, like from a graduate's perspective, now that I'm out of school, I've realized that a lot of it doesn't matter. I mean, yes, it does matter in a lot of different ways, but in terms of biology and the things that I don't use on a daily basis, all of that isn't the most important. The A's on my transcript don't mean anything at the moment. And so I think it really comes down to letting your children learn and taking that love of learning with them the rest of their life.
Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. Hi, friends. I'm so glad to be joined today by a fellow homeschool high school graduate, Samantha Shake. Sam, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you guys so much for inviting me. I'm really excited to be on here.
Well, at age 14, Samantha began what is now Learn in Color. 7 years later, Learn in Color has had over 5 million blog views, and its products have been used in over 7,000 classrooms in all 50 states and several countries. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's kind of crazy, like, looking back and seeing how far it's grown. So yeah, it's been so crazy.
So exciting. Well, when not working, Samantha enjoys freelance graphic design, reading children's literature, and spoiling her dog, who may make a guest appearance here. We'll see. Well, Samantha, could you start, please, by just telling us a bit about yourself and your experience homeschooling?
Yeah, so I was homeschooled from grades 4 through 12. In third grade, I had an amazing public school teacher, but I just wasn't being challenged enough. And at the time, both of my parents worked full-time. My dad was a firefighter, my mom was a hairstylist, and they had a business on top of that. So there was a lot going on in the family. But I'm like, hey, you know, can we try homeschooling? And my parents didn't really know a lot about homeschooling. They didn't have a lot of experience with it, but they're like, okay, you know, let's give it a shot. If we don't like it, you can go back to public school. But I ended up really liking it. I liked being able to set my own pace. I liked the flexibility it offered. And I can't remember if it was the next year or a couple years later, but my sisters, I had two at the time, they're like, oh, Samantha's done with schoolwork by lunchtime. We want to be homeschooled.
Right.
So a couple years later, they both came home and they really liked it. And they both ended up graduating from a public high school. But I think that that's one of the beauties of homeschooling and the flexibilities of it. They really liked being homeschooled throughout elementary and middle school. But one of them wanted to pursue theater at our local public school. And the other wanted to pursue gymnastics at a collegiate level. And she wanted to graduate from a public high school. So I think it just, I really liked the flexibility that homeschooling offered between, like, with each of us in our lives. But for me, I really liked the flexibility homeschooling offered, and I didn't want to change it for anything. And I did end up graduating from homeschooling. I graduated like 2 years early, I think. I ended up taking a gap year, and homeschooling allowed me to graduate high school and college early. So while I was in high school, I was able to earn some college credits, get started on that. It allowed me to grow my business, and so I could focus more on my business instead of schoolwork.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the flexibility of homeschooling and how you can really craft it to fit the needs of your particular family and then each individual sibling even within there, because it doesn't all have to look the same. There's not just one right way to do it, right?
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the things I've learned, and we had learned growing up, just because when we first started out, the only curriculum we knew was a Becker curriculum. And it's a great curriculum, like, don't get me wrong. However, like, we didn't realize, like, oh, there's more options out there. And as, like, I got older, as we all started getting older, we started realizing, oh, Hannah doesn't really like a Becker. Let's try Matthew C. Oh, she likes Matthew C better. She likes the videos better. Whereas a Becker was just a little bit more traditional. So I think just being able to, as we gain more experience, being able to customize it for each of us and realize, oh, like, we don't have to use the Becca for all of the subjects. We can just use it for these subjects, or we can try something completely different. And so I think that that's what the biggest lessons I've, like, learned along the way.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be really encouraging for especially a lot of the new homeschool families this fall, maybe unexpectedly kind of thrown into homeschooling, that I think there can be this pressure. People want you to figure out your homeschool philosophy, and it's like you're getting married to the curriculum or something. You have to figure it out forever. And just to hear that it's okay, like, choose something that's comfortable, that feels like you kind of know what to expect, because you're already going through so many other transitions. You know, and you don't have to do that for the rest of your life. You can change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was even reading some blog posts that even if it doesn't work out, feel free to switch in the middle of the year. Is that a lot of money wasted? Potentially. Might it save you a lot of sanity in the process? Yes. And so I think it just comes down to weighing your options. You can always, like, resell unsold curriculum. It's not like you have to keep it. So, like, there are a lot of different options. You just have to kind of get creative with them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, when you think back on your own homeschooling experience, you've mentioned a lot of the things that were real positives, that were delightful in that. Were there any things that were challenging?
Oh, there were a lot of things that were challenging. I think the first one is my parents didn't homeschool me in the traditional sense, because they both worked full time. So I'm naturally, like, a very self-motivated person. And one of, like, the, I guess, one of the, like, conditions of me being homeschooled was I would have to do a lot of the, like, initial work on my own. And I was okay with that, just because I wanted to be learning at my own pace. I didn't want to be having to follow, like, the set curriculum. But my parents ended up helping me a lot at night if I had struggled with the concept, or especially with upper level math. Like, after Algebra 1, like, it all went downhill from there. So I think that that was one of, like, the struggles and difficulties, that I couldn't go to someone, who, if I needed help with a particular concept, like, I would either have to wait for my parents, or I didn't have, like, a teacher who I could immediately go to. But I do think that that really helped me ultimately throughout my business and throughout college, just because when I have a question, I'm used to Googling the answer, or I'm used to figuring it out on my own. And I found a lot of great resources on the web. Some of them were also student created, and I've noticed those resources tended to be better than the ones that were created by adults, because the student resources, the student's like, hey, I'm a college student, I get what you're going through, I get exactly how to explain this. So I found out a lot of good information from that, and I think that it just ultimately helped prepare me for college, since I didn't have, like, a professor, like, holding my hand the entire time. It's like, figure it out, kind of. It's really helped me throughout grad school, because my grad school is solely online, even before COVID, and they definitely aren't holding my hand through anything.
Right.
So, and sometimes with my college professors, it takes them a couple of days to get back with me. And if assignments due in, like, 4 days, then, like, I have to figure out something. I can't just be doing nothing during those times. So I think that that's been a big help.
I remember when I started taking some college classes after high school, and people asked me, oh, is it such a hard transition from being homeschooled to doing college? And I thought, actually, no, because I feel like the other students were having a much harder time. They were used to going to class every day, having someone there to answer all their questions, kind of being spoon-fed each step of the way. And I was used to a mom who's like, I don't know. Let's figure it out. And that's what, you know, my oldest son now is doing calculus. He was having questions yesterday. I'm like, I don't know. Let's figure it out. And so you're really learning to solve problems yourself, which is so valuable.
Yeah, I think that just the student-led learning, I think, is really the most valuable part of it. Just because in business especially, and especially in the industry I'm in, blogging, technology, it's constantly changing and it's never static. So you could take an amazing blogging course, but then in a couple of years, a lot of the information is probably going to be outdated. It's not the fault of the course. It's just the way blogging works. And so I think that did, that has really helped me prepare for, like, my career. And I really am thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, you started your website and your online business, Learning Color. We mentioned that earlier, and you started that when you were 14. So can you tell us a little bit about the story of how that came about?
Yes. So, like, looking at how this all came about. So it started kind of when I was in fourth grade. That was my first year of homeschooling. And before then, I had never done history formally. I'd never done history or science, which I think is a real shame. It's so sad. But in fourth grade, I started discovering World War II and the Holocaust. And that really piqued my interest, just because I wasn't sure what it was all about. I was just getting, like, bits and fragments of pieces. My textbook didn't cover a lot of it. And I was just reading these, like, random books, and I just was kind of, I didn't understand it all. But as I started researching it more in depth, I started realizing there's so many amazing stories out there from World War II, and none of them were in my history textbook. Growing up, other textbooks I look at, none of those stories were in the textbook. All they had was dates, facts, figures. I'm like, well, that's great, but what is the Holocaust? Okay. And so I think that that's what really sparked my initial love of history. And for the longest time, I just would never stop talking about World War II. There was a period of my life when literally the only thing I read was World War II books, and the only thing I watched was World War II movies for like a period of like 2 years. But from then on, a lot of people were like, okay, Samantha, you're getting kind of annoying. I'm like, okay, I understand that. I get really excited when I talk, and I just don't know how to shut up sometimes. So I needed a kind of a creative outlet, and that's kind of where the blog was born. It was kind of born by accident. I'd always wanted to be a professional writer, but I never dreamed it would be a reality. And so it's just something fun. Me and my sisters originally were going to start. That blog died. I forgot about that. That blog died after like 2 posts, but we're not going to talk about that one. Oh my gosh, yeah. But the current blog I have, I started that when I was 14, and I originally just started blogging about my favorite things. It was all of the most random things. If you go back and look in my June 2013 archives, it is all so random. It is random book lists. It is random stories from World War II. It is random frugality tips, because I love frugality. Frugality from World War II, all of these random different things. And about 6 months later, I published 2 posts. One of them was called the Math Cheat Sheet, and this was a sheet that I'd originally designed for myself because I was tired of flipping through my textbook and trying to figure out a math formula or trying to find it. So originally, I had written in my notebook in colored pens all these math formulas, and then when somebody taught me how to use Excel, I'm like, Excel is 10 times better than my handwriting. And I had made the sheet in Excel, and then my sisters were like, I want that too. So I made that one. And I remember like posting it online. It was on my parents' old computer. I had no intentions with it, but I posted it online and it kind of blew up and it kind of exploded from there. And I think around that time, maybe like a year later, I started realizing that you could make money blogging. And I'm like, oh, this could be a potential career option. And I got connected with a lot of amazing bloggers in the industry, homeschool bloggers, mom bloggers who are making like 6 figures with their website. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible. All I need to do was being able to afford rent in Indiana, which isn't that bad. So from then on, from about 15, 16 years old, that's when I knew that I wanted to be a full-time blogger. I wanted to own my own business, and I really wanted to pursue entrepreneurship full-time. So that's kind of where it all began, from a love of history.
That is amazing. So I love that story because it started with something that you were passionate about and you loved, and it wasn't necessarily something that, you know, a parent or an adult might look at and think, oh, well, a love of World War II history is sure to translate into a wonderful career.
Exactly.
But through all those twists and turns and even, failures, now you have this thriving business. Well, what do you love most about being an entrepreneur? And has there anything that sort of surprised you about running your own business?
I think my favorite part is definitely the flexibility of it all. Not only with my schedule, but just in my like general creativity. So if you look at my website currently and you look at the different types of blog posts I have or the different types of products I have, they are the most random thing in the world. When I'm talking to somebody in person, they're like, what do you have? I'm like, well, one day I might be having a movie guide for like The Giver or some dystopian novel. And the next minute I might be coming up with Hebrew handwriting worksheets. Like, you just never know what you're going to find on my website. But they all have in common is they came from an idea that I had. And so I think that that's what I really like most, is I don't know any other job that would allow me this much flexibility and creativity. And it doesn't seem like it would work, but it somehow works for me. So I think that that's probably the most exciting thing and the thing I'm most grateful for. The biggest challenge I've had is definitely growth. So I think it was around like when I was in college, I realized like I can't do this alone. And that's hard for me because I'm very solo. I'm a perfectionist. And so I'm like, so Samantha, you can't do schoolwork alone. I mean, you can't do schoolwork in the business. And then I was also doing freelance graphic design to pay for said school. And I just realized I couldn't do it all alone. But that was when I got in contact with some business mentors, and they helped me realize, okay, here are the different types of things you can do to grow and start outsourcing. Here are the things you need to be looking for in a potential employee. Because at the beginning, I was just like, does anybody want some money. I'll teach you how to do this. And I was hiring just random students, but the quality wasn't what I was wanting. I wasn't explaining myself well. It was a hot mess on all sides. But now I've had a couple students. A student, she just graduated, and a current teacher who's local helped me out. And I've been able to outsource tasks like product creation, just little things that go into one blog post. And so I think that was the biggest struggle. And that's even right now the thing I'm working on the most is outsourcing products and growing in a way that is still true to my mission, but still allows me to reach more people and help more people.
Right. And that's actually a truly sustainable business model. So you don't just burn out.
Exactly. And like, I think I realized like then I'm like, this is not a sustainable, like I was burning out myself out every single semester in college. So yeah.
This episode is brought to you by the Year of Memory Work, my free resource to help you incorporate more beautiful pieces of memory work in your homeschool day. The Year of Memory Work provides you 52 weeks of beautiful poetry, famous speeches, historic documents, and more, so you never have to wonder what to memorize or recite next. With my free printables, it's easy to include the recitation of your choice in your morning time routine. Plus, for each piece of memory work, there's also a video in which I or one of my children recite the poem or speech for you. Sometimes we even get a little goofy. With 52 items to choose from, you're sure to find something your whole family will enjoy. Head to humilityanddoxology.com and click the menu button at the top of the page to easily navigate to the Year of Memory Work. Or head to Humility and Doxology on YouTube or Facebook, where I have all the videos rounded up in a Year of Memory Work playlist.
Well, I can imagine a parent listening to this and thinking, wow, this is amazing. How do I encourage that kind of entrepreneurial business spirit in my teen? So do you feel like there was something that your parents did to kind of encourage you, or what would you say to that parent?
For me personally, I think like letting your children learn, kind of like how you said earlier, who knew that like an interest in World War II would have ended up a business like selling homeschool like resources. Like it's kind of crazy how like different things can lead you. Frequent trips to the library were huge. We lived really close to a library, and all the time I would be begging my parents, hey, can we please go to the library? And they're like, we just went. I'm like, I know, but I want to go again. I have a book on hold.
Oh yes. We were there before our library shut down. We were at the library probably 3 or 4 times a week. It's within walking distance. So my older kids walk up there to get their books. So now we have to get our book pickup, but
great.
We were glad once that resumed, because we didn't know how to live without the library for so many months.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think like with our library, they do such a great job. And even if they don't have it at that library, they can get it from any library in Indiana because of like interlibrary loans. Right. So that's another thing to look into with your library. Even if they don't have a certain book, they can get it like from anywhere in the state. And I think that just like those unlimited resources, tapping into those are really key to it and finding what interests your child. So a lot of times I hear parents say, oh, my child's just interested in Minecraft and Fortnite. What's the other one? TikTok. Oh my goodness, I don't like TikTok. But I get that from parents all the time. And I'm like, well, what do they like about it? Maybe it's the dancing. Maybe it's the strategy. I don't know. But whatever it is, use that to your advantage and find out like how you can take that further. So for example, with Minecraft, I've seen so many different ways to incorporate math in Minecraft, or to incorporate computer animation, like programming and all that stuff. So there are a lot of different ways, even if your child's interested in a video game or TikTok dances, there are a lot of ways to make that educational and say, hey, this is what you could possibly be doing with that interest. So I think just giving kids lots of different opportunities to learn and then just seeing where it takes them.
Yeah. So what I really hear you saying is it's that passion and enthusiasm that comes first.
Yeah.
Don't so much focus on, all right, kid, you've got to come up with a business plan and a business model tomorrow.
Yeah. And I have been in entrepreneurship courses where they have done that, and it hasn't always ended well, because when you think that big at first, you're just like, well, I don't know what I want to do. And so I've noticed when it starts with a genuine passion and interest for entrepreneurship, it really starts with the need. So, and almost all of the stories of entrepreneurship I've read, it starts with a person going, hey, it would be really nice if I had this in my life. And they figured out it doesn't exist, so they created it. And so I think that that's kind of where entrepreneurship, a lot of entrepreneurship stems from. So,
Yeah, that is really, that's a great piece of advice and helpful. I think sometimes as parents, you know, we have these great ideas and we want so badly for our children to be successful that we can sometimes squelch the very passion or enthusiasm that could potentially lead somewhere that is, you know, that you can't see or that you can't predict, mm-hmm. especially as quickly as technology and all these things are changing. I mean, mm-hmm. who knew there would be this whole online world that
we would be doing? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even with platforms like Zoom or any type of online curriculum, like who would have known that this like pandemic would have happened? But it turns out like the online blogging world, especially the homeschool community right now, is a big need right now. So again, it just really depends on like the market and the world, but you can't predict that, like you said. So it's just really weird. And so I think it just really comes down to letting your child explore their interests and seeing where it takes them, because you truly do never know where it will lead. And so it might not lead to a career. And I think that that's okay.
Well, Samantha, you were able to graduate from college debt-free at age 20. So how would you encourage teens and parents to think kind of outside the box when it comes to higher education?
Yes, higher education is really important, especially in today's world. But I hate all of the different stereotypes that say, oh, you're going to have $50,000 of debt. You should just expect it. Like, no, that's not reality. That should not be a reality. And I know so many like people that have been able to graduate debt-free with so many different ways. It's not like you have to get a full ride. The college I went to didn't offer full rides, so that wasn't an option for me. That's something I should have also looked into in retrospect. But I think one of the biggest things is saving money and starting a plan early. And I think the earlier you can plan, the better. But even if you're already in college, that doesn't mean, I have to have a ton of debt because I didn't plan earlier. For me personally, I use CLEP tests. So CLEP tests are very similar to AP tests, except they're easier. And you take them anytime, whereas AP tests, you could only take them in like the spring around May or April or May, depending on when your school gets out. And AP is designed for high performing high school students, whereas CLEP is designed for adults going back to school. So I think a passing CLEP test is like a C in a college course, which isn't that bad. And so I was able to CLEP out of a test. I took a lot of summer courses when I was in college. So at one semester, I had taken 10 credits. So, which is almost like a full-time load over the summer. But I've noticed that with online courses, the coursework is easier. There's not as much coursework. And it's just like a lot, like it goes by a lot faster because it's a condensed version. And so I know the pandemic has changed a lot of things. So when I say online courses, this was all pre-pandemic. But I do know there are online courses that are still the same way. However, if you are taking what's supposed to be an in-person class, I think a lot of my friends have told me that they've had to sit down with lectures, like 3-hour long lectures with their professors on Zoom. And that wasn't what I did. I don't think I would have been able to do it all. But I think at my peak with my college career, I was taking 24 credit hours. But again, 6 of those were online. So it wasn't even near as bad as it sounds. But I think just planning early, looking for scholarships, getting creative with how you're saving money, getting creative when you're applying for scholarships is really key to graduating early and graduating debt-free.
Yes. And, you know, you were working as well, I think you mentioned earlier. Yeah. So that can be done as well. Yeah, I don't know why more people don't take advantage of CLEP exams. I think that they're like, oh, but AP exams are more prestigious or something. I'm like, well, you get college credit. Like nobody looks at, when you look at your college transcript, no one's going to know where you got the credit from. So
exactly.
It really doesn't matter. I used those when I went back to night school to finish up my degree. I ended up having my third child while I was doing those classes. And I'm so glad I was able to CLEP out of several courses just to save time. I literally just got a textbook and read it, and then
exactly.
I mean, they're multiple choice.
And I think, especially if when you're in high school, for ones like psychology or business, because the business ones are the easiest ones, if you're already learning that subject in high school, you're probably going to pass the CLEP test. You can buy like the guide on CLEP's website. I think it's like $20 or $30. It's not that bad at all, especially when you compare it to a college course. So if you're already learning the material and it's not something that you're particularly interested in, go ahead and CLEP out of it and save yourself a boatload of money.
Yes. In fact, my teen son has already done 3 like by the end of his freshman year. So, and they were just courses he was already taking.
Exactly.
And actually even our library had the CLEP,
oh, yeah,
where you can do the practice exam or exactly, you know, go through and try to see how many questions, you know, the answers yeah, to or whatever. So,
and depending on the college and depending on what test it is, I know my roommate, my old roommate, she is bilingual in Spanish. And so when she took the Spanish CLEP test, she ended up getting like 9 credits. So again, this is a $90 test, $10 a credit versus almost $1,000 a credit at our local college for something that she already knew. So she's like, I don't want to take it in the Spanish class because I already know it, so I'm just going to take the CLEP exam. And she ended up getting a lot more bang for her buck than even I did with my 3-credit course. So there's so many different options with CLEP.
That is fantastic. Well, here at the close, I want to ask you the 2 questions I'm asking all of my guests this season. And the first question is just, what are you reading lately?
I love reading children's lit, so a lot of the books that I read, I make book guides for my blog. But currently, I'm reading The Answer Is by Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. It's his memoir. And I really like that one. And for my blog, I'm currently reading Shiloh, the story about the dog. So,
I have heard that memoir is fascinating. So I grew up, you know, I was very young. I remember, you know, watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. My mom said I learned my alphabet from watching Wheel of Fortune.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Can I buy a vowel, please?
Well, what is something that you would say, and of course, you know, you have a perspective as that homeschool student in your past. So if you were going to talk to one of these new homeschool parents this fall, what's one thing you would say to a new homeschool parent?
I think really be okay with learning with your child. You don't know everything, and that's totally okay. I think homeschooling is really about trial and error and trying to realize what works out for you and your children. Kind of like you mentioned earlier, it doesn't have to be the same for each child. I think at the end of it all, like from a graduate's perspective, now that I'm out of school, I've realized that a lot of it doesn't matter. I mean, yes, it does matter in a lot of different ways, but in terms of biology and the things that I don't use on a daily basis, all of that isn't the most important. The A's on my transcript don't mean anything just because, like, at the moment. And so I think it really comes down to letting your children learn and taking that love of learning with them the rest of their life, because that is what's going to matter. That's what they're going to take with them for the rest of their life, and that's what they're going to remember from their homeschool experience. Not exactly cramming for the science test, math test, the history test.
Yeah, those details aren't necessarily going to be the things that stick with them, but the relationship and then the love of learning, that's going to be a constant in their life.
Yeah.
Well, Samantha, where can people find you all around the internet?
You can find me at Learning Color on my website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. So.
Okay, great. And I will put all those links in the show notes for this episode at humilityanddoxology.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.